Well, here we are. It's the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. It's not Friday. It's Monday, December 22nd, just a few days before Christmas, 9:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host with my little... Well, where did he just go? He's having a little puppy here. He just took off. Right in the middle of that, he just kind of decided to get up and walk off, and I didn't have his leash, so I don't know. Well, I hope he doesn't do anything out there in the big, brave world. Anyway, it is Monday, Mishmash Monday here at the news, according to me. I'm in the home studio. I've been all over the country. Not all over the country, just a few places. Last week, I didn't have really a good opportunity to do a show on Friday. I thought I was going to be able to do a show on Friday. It would have been late in the day by the time I had a chance to do it. It was, I was in Albany. No, was I in Albany? I was in Scranton. I was in Scranton, I think. I can't remember where I was on Friday. No, you know what? I was in Chicago on Friday. I had a crazy day. Was trying to get to Albany. Made about halfway to Albany, and the plane, we had to turn the plane around and go back to Chicago, I guess, because there was nasty, nasty weather out there in the Albany area. So they turned us back around. Yeah, see, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work to have him barking behind me. This is your Chewy. I got you this little Chewy thing there. He's supposed to be chewing on the little Chewy thing. Well, he likes for me to hold it for him for some reason, which is kind of unusual. Most dogs don't want you to hold their bone while they want to chew on their bone and have it, you know. This dog, he brings it over to me, wants me to hold it for him so he can chew on it, so he doesn't have to hold it. He's chewing on it. It's just weird. I guess it's a sign of trust or something. I don't know what that is. Not that I mind it. It's just I don't want to, you know, get my finger confused with the chewy part. Anyway.
Oops. Get it. There you go.
See if we can figure that out. A lot of things happening in the news. Democrats are kind of going crazy right now. Life in general stuff that's been going on over the weekend. Democrats now, of course, are freaking out about the whole Epstein thing. Now, it doesn't matter what happens. Everything gets blamed on Trump. And, you know, Trump's always the bad guy. He's the racist. It's gotten so old, I think, with most people. I think people are getting, there's a fatigue thing setting in, I think, in the nation. Really, I think, especially among those on the right, you know, we kind of wanted to be understanding initially and kind of, you know, getting, but there's never ending. I started to think about maybe having this like outrage of the week kind of thing, whatever it is this week that they're outraged about. Whatever, you know, he said something about Rob Reiner. Well, that was the big deal last week. Of course, then there's always this continuing kind of thing about shooting drug lords. These boats. Now he's confiscating international. They're breaking international law. I'm talking about the oil rigs that are going. Well, not the rigs, but the tankers. Yeah, I think there's three of them now. We've commandeered because they've gone. They're breaking the law. They're taking sanctioned oil to Iran. I think it's Iran. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Iran. Why would Iran want oil? They got plenty of oil. They don't have any refineries. They get the oil, but they don't have the refineries. They don't have any kind of infrastructure to do anything with it. And so they, ironically, they're on the precipice of being a nuclear armed country, and still don't have the facilities to process oil and refineries, that kind of thing. But it's bizarre that they, you know, they're in such economic just weirdness going on over there. So the and what it does is they move this stuff around. It does all kinds of weird stuff. There's all kinds of weird trading deals going on. And this is where Trump's tariffs are starting to control some of this stuff, and the world markets, the market itself likes it. It's creating a balanced field out there, which is economically good. However, politically, it's not good for many countries. There's a lot of countries that are actually very upset. Now, here's what's weird about this whole thing. And they've discovered about $8 billion in fraud over the SNAP and other programs. I'm just talking about Minnesota. There's billions of dollars have been defrauded through these programs. And you cannot tell me that a governor of that state did not know what was going on. That the sitting congresswoman of the district where 99% of it was happening didn't know what was going on. And when she's asked about it by Jake Tapper, of course, he's a fine, hard-hitting analyst, journalist. He asks her the question, and she gives this answer. And she does what I had a name for it. It's gravel talk. I think it's like a gravelly voice. Well, this is what happens when it happens that way, and it goes. This is the way it is, and just the way. I think that's she goes into this whole thing about how there was so much money going around everywhere, and there was just no controls. We didn't have the guardrails in place for things. And why is it that it's just the same guardrails were everywhere else in the country? And I'm sure there was plenty of other stuff going on around the country. But for some reason, it's one little area in Minnesota where there happens to be a large population. Now, what gets me is she turns around. I don't have any audio to play for you today, but I've played the audio before. So it's out there. But she answers this question and she starts saying, well, this is bad for the Somali population too, because they're taxpayers too. They pay taxes, and now it's their tax money that's going someplace that it shouldn't be going. Are you serious? 80%. Actually, it's over 80%. The number's actually over 80%. I'm giving them some leeway here. 80% of the Somali households in Minnesota are on government assistance. 80%. Now, you can say that they're all taxpayers and they're contributing to society. All of the studies that have been done will say otherwise. They all say that they are a net loss. All the taxes that are paid by all the workers, for Somalian workers that have come here, that immigrated here, all of them, all the tax money they're paying it's not even a third of what the population is taking out in government assistance. That's just flat out fact. Now, I'm not saying that every Somali individual is a bad person. I'm saying there's a cultural problem here. I'm not saying every black person is a problem. But there's a cultural problem. Now, whites, yes, you guys have a cultural problem too. You guys, we, well, whatever. Every culture has a cultural problem. Some worse than others. And it's close to Christmas. I'm just not going to go down that road. I'm going to back up, take a sip of my chai with coconut creamer in it. And I'm going to look here at my backup cup. It's got sweet tea. Most of it is Chick-fil-A sweet tea that I purchased on Saturday. So it's a little bit old, but it's still really good. I kept it cold the whole time, so while I was on my trip, I got some Saturday evening, carried me through Sunday. I have a little bit of it left now. I'm going to be making some fresh peach tea today because our family is doing our annual gathering. We usually do a Christmas gathering or something around this holiday gathering, kind of around this time of year. And so today my wife has a thing going on, so I've got to make chili, and I've got to make tea, and got to wrap all the presents, take care of the dogs, fix the car that broke some. She went out to start her car this morning. It wouldn't start. I don't know what's going on with that. I think she broke it again. The I don't know what she does to these cars. No, there's something wrong. It's the starter. It's either a fuse or it's a wire that's come loose or broken. I'm not sure which, but there's something going on with the starter. Well, not start. So it's got one of those. It's one of those cars that, you know, if you don't push the button to disable it every time you start it up, it's got this thing to where when you come to a stop, it shuts the car off, and it starts the car again. When you push on the accelerator, when you let off the brake or push on the accelerator, it starts the car again. Well, I don't like that thing. I don't like it. I wish I could permanently disable it. I don't like pulling up to a stop sign and have the car stop because you don't know if it's going to start again. And then this is exactly what happened, fortunately, in our garage. So I don't know what's going on. It could be part of that system. I don't know. It could be part of something else. I have a feeling it's a wire or a fuse, one of the two. So I'll have to look into that today. On top of everything else, I'm getting ready to go. I'm only going to be home for 3 days. I got to get ready to go for a trip because when I come home next week on Sunday, we are heading out on Monday to drive 1,000 miles to a location that's a little bit warmer. I don't know if there's going to be any. Probably won't be much of a show next Monday. Might be a show maybe or two next week. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, I'd like to know what you think about what I think. You can call the show, text the show at 812-379-8778, and let me know what you think. You can leave a text message, or you can call and leave a voicemail message. My voice is kind of messed up today. There, just did a good cough with the mute button on. Kind of cleared that up. So I'll just soothe that with some sweet tea there. There we go. Now it's turning more silky smooth again. Not quite where it should be, but I have more of that in the world. I don't even have that voice going on. I can't even do the voiceover trailer guy, the movie trailer guy. Okay. So let's talk about some of the things that are happening. There's some good things happening, by the way. The bill, there's a lot of tax advantage stuff happening next week, next year, I should say. For the first of the year. Apparently this stuff's all retroed back to this year. So what you made this year all applies towards next year. I don't think there's any tax on tips. I think some of the things that were in the big, beautiful bill, whatever they call it, are actually going into effect next year. And for this year's taxes, with the taxes you will pay on things, there's some kind of an account. I believe it's for children. It might be like a healthcare account type thing. And I think for opening the account, you get $1,000 in the account right away. It's for all children, anybody that signs up for this program. And there's some really brilliant ideas here. Now, again, the Democrats, they were trying to get this stuff passed. They're still trying to get this whole subsidies thing passed. And they're making it sound like everybody's bill is going to go up. 300% or whatever. Millions of people are probably going to have a higher bill. There's some people that won't. I think that there's between 5 and 7 million people probably that are going to have their bills going to go up for the healthcare insurance. However, not everyone's will, and it's to that extent. And it's the subsidies. What they don't tell you is that the subsidies are not paid to the individuals. They're paid directly to these insurance companies. And the whole thing about Obamacare was that it locked people into certain carriers. Of course, we were told, you can keep your doctor. You like your doctor? You can keep your doctor. You can keep your insurance. You like your plan? You can keep your plan. And then we find out we can't keep our doctor. We can't keep our plan. The exchanges became very limited. I don't even understand it all. It's very complicated. But because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not an insurance expert. If I were an insurance expert, I would resign. I wouldn't continue to be. I don't think I could stand that job. I don't even think I would want to be an insurance expert. If somebody wanted to call me an expert, I don't think I would want to. If the entire world voted and said, we're going to say that you're an expert, I don't want that title. I don't even want to be that guy. I want to be an insurance dummy. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be the guy that just pays his bill and forgets about it. I listen to a lot of financial stuff now. It's kind of funny how you get into a certain age. There's quite a few, actually, places that I subscribe to that just to talk about financing and retiring, finances, how people handle finances and savings and how they view spending, what they do in their, especially in their later years, early years, that kind of thing. Just the difference between starting at the age of 20 and starting at the age of 60 or later, as I'm in. And where you're at in that whole perspective of things. Now, of course, you don't know if, you know, you can save and you try to, it's not all about scrimping and trying to cut corners on small things necessarily. Those things are more important when you're younger, when your income is less. However, the biggest problem people have is when they start making more money, they do tend to start spending more money on stupid things. And this guy, he talks a lot about, and Dave Ramsey is the same way, that a lot of people talk about, you know, buying a new car, for instance. Just the point at which you really can afford a new car, that most people cannot. And yet they go out and buy them all the time because the financing is there. They're willing to throw a 7 or 8, 10 year mortgage in your face. Over the loan or whatever, over the vehicle to get your payment down. I can afford that. I can be driving around in a brand new car. You can't afford the insurance. And 4 years later, when the car starts to break down and starts to fail all over the place, and folks, you can drive a brand new car off the lot, and you get a flat tire. And guess what? That's not covered under the warranty. Unless you got a road hazard warranty with your tires. Then you still got to pay for the next road hazard warranty on the next tire. And I think the road hazard warranties have gone up. Used to be, we do our stuff at Discount Tire. They don't sponsor the show. By the way, there's no sponsor to this show. But we go get our stuff at Discount Tire. And we get the road hazard warranty. It used to be $19. Now, I used to buy used tires for $19. I would go in there and they would have used tires. And I'd just say, can you just throw some used tires on? You got a good set of used tires? We'll throw those on there. You should do that all the time. Because people go in, get new tires. Well, if they had decent, the tires were still decent, they would stack them to the side. So I did a lot of stuff with my vehicles early on where I was able to get used tires. Now there are still places around that will do that. Some of the bigger chains like Discount Tire and we've got a company in this area called Monteith, which is like, I think they're owned, they're the same company as Zollman, a couple others. They're all owned by the same company. I don't think Bell Tire is owned by the same company. I'm not positive. That's turning into a conglomerate. Anyway, a lot of the chain tire stores will not do that anymore because of liability issues. However, there's also a bit of a conspiracy theory going on there, but there are some locally owned single points out there, like mechanic shops that will give you used tires. They deal with used tires. And you can still get them and keep your vehicle going for $20 or $30. And what's amazing to me is sometimes I'll go in there and they'll replace a tire and they'll say, well, you know, it's got this plug in here that's not legal. It's not one of our plugs. And this isn't allowed under our road hazard insurance warranty thing, which is bogus. That's a bunch of baloney. The reason the plug is in there to begin with is because there was a road hazard. Well, it's not the right kind of plug, so we can't. Value, you know, the warranty's not good. Well, I have five vehicles that I put tires on for Discount Tire. They know that. And usually they will say, well, we'll go ahead and put another tire on there for $30. So in other words, at their cost. Now, if I went in there to buy that tire, it'd be $120. Drives me nuts. Going to buy a new set of tires for all four all the way around, it's like $600 every time we do that. for anything decent. I'm a kind of a Michelin guy. I kind of like the Michelin tires, but it's, we had a little batch there. We had a little spread there for a while with some Michelin tires that were terrible. We had flats all the time. Had issues with them like crazy. And we finally got past that. We got a different kind of tire on there. And I tend to run a little higher profile on the side as well, but that's all. Yeah, I'm not going to, anyway. I'm just jibber-jabbering now because it's Mishmash Monday. By the way, we're not sponsored by anybody. I was going to talk about that a little bit more. There's no sponsor in this company, this podcast. And there's the reason for that is because I don't want to be bought or told or what, you know, I don't want to be careful about what I say about anything in terms of being demonetized or anything else. I want to be able to say all the words I want to say and not have to worry about editing anything out. Now, I'm sure that that may cause a problem with my algorithms for promoting the channel. I mean, I might get fewer listens because I don't have a channel that has all the proper, you know, I say, you know, words that they don't like, whatever word it is. But they are by de facto causing people to edit themselves or to, how you say, silence themselves, I guess you could say. Or censor themselves because if they don't include, if they say certain words on their podcast or on their YouTube channel, they get demonetized or they get throttled back where they don't have as much reach. And so people will censor themselves. Self-censoring is what the word. And this is what happens with this whole thing. So people are doing it, going along with it, just because of the financial reasons. Well, I'm not there. This podcast does not charge anything for this. I don't charge you. And of course, now you have to pay for internet. You have to pay for, you know, to access it, all that kind of stuff. But it's the podcast itself. I don't have a GoFundMe. I don't have a what's the other thing that everybody uses? They use a Patreon or whatever. They use all kinds of things to finance it. So they get content first and they get all this content, you know, premium content. You get the extended show, get another hour of the show for paying for it, whatever. Or you get the, you know, it's just, those are the kinds of things. I'm not doing that. But then I don't know that my show is, you know, worth anything anyway to begin with. But that's beside the point. I you get what you pay for out there. So, you know, that's what they say anyway. So hopefully, you get some kind of benefit out of this show, even if it's just to put you to sleep at night when you play it. You know, it's just kind of droning on for hours and hours. Not sure exactly what my dog is doing now. He seems to be, you know, he's looking at me. He's going to start barking here in any minute now. He's whining. This is when the whining starts and then the barking follows soon after. And, yeah, I guess that's what's going to happen. He was laying down there. I thought he was going to relax. Can you lay down? Lay down. Lay down. 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 Lay down. Anyway. There comes. Now the barking. Now the barking starts. And now I have to go put a pillow over his head for 10 minutes or so. Calm him down. That's what I have to do. There he goes. Nice chewy. Chewy. All right. Where was I? A few other things I want to talk about. This is going to work at all. I'll get him to lay down there for a little bit. where was I? I was just about to say something about something. Now I can't remember. Oh, there he goes again. Yeah. But anyway, so today's Mishmash show, and then tomorrow will be Topical Tuesday. Topical Tuesday. I haven't decided on a topic for tomorrow. I kind of want to go back to this, to some things about AI. I know I've talked about that before. I don't know. The financial markets, it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next few months. Silver is up like crazy, which is weird. There's some theories about that right now, and there's some things that are happening behind the scenes with silver that it's been a controlled market for many, many years. Paper traded controlled market, and now people are asking. You know, people are wanting. It's kind of an interesting thing. I might talk about that tomorrow. I might talk about precious metal market, But that's more of a Financial Friday thing. I don't know that. See, I will be in Kalamazoo on Friday morning. However, I'll be leaving extremely early. I'll be getting into, I think I have kind of a long day on Friday, actually. I believe getting into D.C., I think, if I remember correctly, on Friday. I can't remember for sure. I think I'm in D.C. And I'm not sure how long that's going to pan out. As far as what time I get in there. So there may not be a show on Friday. However, in the meantime, just talking about topical Tuesday things. And then Wishy-Washy Wednesday, I'll be talking about politics more, about what's going on politically with the realm of what's happening more with the Democrats, more details about particular individuals. Tomorrow's topical Tuesday, I just don't know. I think we may talk about the gas prices and energy. I'm kind of thinking I might head down that road, the economy of the energy cycle, what I've been seeing, hearing about, finding out about what's going on with oil prices and just the whole energy thing in general. One of the things that we don't talk about much in the AI world is about how the data centers around the country are kind of getting into this, they're going to be using up more energy. Data centers alone in this country will use up more energy than some countries use in an entire year. So the issue now is whether or not we can generate that much electricity and what's it going to do to our electrical costs, how we're going to support that, you know, with the infrastructure behind the scenes that makes it work. Nuclear is the only way to do that. There's no other way to do that. They have to start building nuclear power plants. Now, they may start actually – they do have submarines and even I think the larger aircraft carriers are nuclear powered. They have a small self-contained nuclear reactor that they can fuel them for like 20 years, the fuel that they put on them. They can go for 20 years without refueling. And it's a way I understand it. And it's an amazing machine. They're talking about having those actually kind of in the middle of these things, having one for each station, powering the data centers. Now, there's a lot of technical issues, a lot of issues about the whole data center thing that kind of make me kind of wonder in terms of scalability and expandability. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. That may be a good topic for tomorrow. How the energy sector affects this whole thing and how they're going to do all that. So that'll probably be the topic for tomorrow. Haven't made a definite decision on that one yet, but we'll work on that. So anyway, in the meantime, there's a lot of things going on in the world, around the world, and there was the attack on. I haven't really talked much about the attacks that have been happening. Some of the things that have been happening. I guess TPUSA, Turning Point USA, the organization that Charlie Kirk started, had a big thing. They have a yearly thing anyway, I think. But they had this thing. It was a US Fest or whatever it was. They had America Fest, whatever they called it. And a lot of people were speaking. Of course, they had, you know, Tucker Carlson spoke and Ben Shapiro spoke and some other folks talked that have been at odds with each other, really. Now, the left loves the idea that there's all this division, supposedly, on the right. There's not that much division on the right. There is some squabbling between some particular individuals. End of the day, there's very little compared to what's going on in the Democrat Party right now. Democrat Party tends to rule with an iron fist. They tend to, you know, if you don't go along with everything, and especially the radical leftists, the extreme leftists, if you say one good thing, look at John Fetterman right now. If he says anything good, even Mamdani, one of their champions and probably the most left of leftists there are, goes to speak with the president, and all of a sudden he's the enemy. You should never go speak with that guy. Now, of course, there've been other mayors now that have been asked, are you going to go talk to the president? Are you going to go meet with the president? There's no reason for me to do that. know, they squiggle out of that. Well, you know, we have our own thing here. Each marriage has its own particular issues. It just all kinds of weird responses to that question. They're some of these Democrat mayors. They're scared of the guy. They're afraid that they're going to look stupid. They're actually more afraid of their base. Because they know if they go talk to that guy, that validates him. That gives him some credibility as a human being, and they can't do that because their left thinks he's a monster. Their base thinks all their supporters think that he's a monster. He's a filthy. Everything that comes out of his mouth is terrible, which is just bizarre to me. It's just, you know, Bill Clinton, all kinds of pictures of him actually in the Epstein mansions and on the plane to the Epstein Island. Trump has never been to the island. He's been on his plane. It's one of the things that you have to realize when you get up there in the ritzy, ritzy, bitsy parts of the world. The one percenters, they own airplanes, and occasionally they trade time on those airplanes. This is especially the jet setters, the people who are out there and known abouts. And this is who Epstein was always kowtowing to. He was always catering to, and he was always trying to trick into, you know, people like the Clintons and the people, just all these other people. It's just, they all had Epstein. You know, Epstein was in trying to get his needles into all these people. And so he was always schmoozing with them and trying to do his thing. Well, that's what he did. He was some kind of supposedly financial guide, investment guide thing. It was all a ruse. I don't know. I think he was more of a, he was more involved in blackmail than anything else. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I don't know. I just have opinions. This is all just for entertainment purposes. It's nothing, you know, real about this. It's all just entertainment value. Anyway, the disclaimer. I had the whole thing with Trump. Trump's got pictures of him with these girls beside him. We know. And you bring up Bill Clinton, who was on record, of course, like 19 times, I think, going to the islands and being flown around by Epstein. See, trading time on an airplane is one thing. That's saying, hey, you can use my airplane to get over there if you need to use it. You know, that's one thing. It's when you're picking someone up and having meetings with them, that's a whole different story. And then when you're, you know, when they're controlling the whole thing with the girls, some pretty cozy relationship there with Epstein that Mr. Clinton had. But they don't want to talk about that. Now, granted, he's not the president anymore, but he was. And this was during the time he was the president. And you know, I always come back to this whole thing of, Bill Clinton took advantage of an intern in the Oval Office, and they call Trump a monster. They call him all kinds of names. Child predator, all kinds of stuff. And they believe this stuff. They go off the deep end with this thing. And it's like, okay, the guy is not a squeaky clean individual. But there's no introspect. There's no self-reflection. There's no self-awareness of their own party. All of a sudden, they're carrying the moral stent. Nick Freitas, it's not Fuentes, Freitas, he's an actual congressional representative. He made a really good point. I think I've played it on the show, but if I haven't, I'll play again, you know, maybe sometime this week. He talked about this whole thing about how healthcare is a human right. Talk about all these human rights that we always healthcare is a human right. We have to protect the Constitution. It's a constitutional crisis. They always talk about this constitutional crisis every time President Trump does something. They don't like the Constitution. What part of the Constitution do you like? Tell us what parts you like. Exactly what part of the Constitution is it that's in crisis right now? Because there is something in the Constitution about the Second Amendment, possibly. Maybe that's a human. Is that a human right? If I don't have a gun, or is someone else obligated to buy me a gun because I don't have one? If I can't afford a gun, then someone else should pay for it. Not that way with healthcare, is it? And yet healthcare is not in the Constitution. It's a basic human right, they say. Yes, you have the right to health care. You have the right to take care of yourself. That's what you have the right to do. That's the difference between a society that is a socialist, communist society, and an individual based on a society based on individualism. Well, that's just capitalism. That sounds immoral. That's not biblical at all. Yes, it's very biblical, actually. It's mandated social network where they take your money away. That's not charity. We're not talking charity here, folks. This is class control. That's what it is. And they use, if there weren't any poor people, here again, this is the San Francisco government, for example, the city council, I think it was, or the town council, whoever it was, this of San Francisco, recently voted for reparations for all of the African-American population there. I think it's over the course of so many years, it's like $5 million over the course of so many years per person. I think we're talking about, if I remember the statistics correctly, don't quote me on this, I think it's about $200 billion a year. Their budget right now is less than 20, or it's right around $20 billion a year. Which I don't know where all that money's going. But how are they going to pay for that? And of course, what they did is they basically said, we're going to vote for it. They voted it in. There's only one person that voted against it. But they're not going to vote for funding it yet. So it's there whenever the funding is available. So it was a token vote, basically, is what it was. It was a legislation without any teeth, without any funding. Now, this is in a country, or I should say in a state, where there was no slavery. I mean, you could say the Chinese actually were probably the closest thing to slaves out there. But the African American community, there was no one out there who was a slave. I mean, there was no slave owners and no slaves out there as far as the African American community was concerned in California. But they're going to pay reparations for those people. Where's that going to come from? And what happens when you get, see, this is the problem here is you're taking money from people who had no slaves and giving it to people who were never slaves. And there's this interesting concept, especially this kind of gets back to the thing I was talking about at the beginning. I've been listening to some of these financial psychologists, basically, is what they are. They study the psychology of finances, of money, how people react and spend, and why they spend what they spend, and all these different things, how they react to certain kinds of money, the things that affect you as a child that affect your ability to manage finances as an older age. That carries through unless you're aware of it and you start to become aware of these kinds of things. One of the things that happens is if you just hand somebody $1 million, if they're living paycheck to paycheck, they've always been poor and they can't save anything, you hand them $1 million, it's just a matter of time. In fact, probably just within a few years, they will be back at a paycheck to paycheck level. In fact, probably worse, because they'll think they can afford everything. They'll go out and they'll think, oh, I got $1 million. I can spend whatever I want to. The problem is consumption. And the biggest issue that people have is, I mean, what they consume. It's not necessarily what you purchase. It's the kinds of things you purchase. In other words, if you go out and just spend things on, you take a cruise and you do this and you fly a jet to here and there, you travel around the country. That's not money. You're not investing in anything unless you have some kind of business related activity where you're traveling around the country or around the world. And you've got some kind of a YouTube channel that pays for all that. Somehow that investment, you're making that investment make you money, or somehow you're getting your money back out of that. You're doing something as an investment, purchasing hard items. Like if you say a, you go out and buy a tractor or whatever you buy. I bought a backhoe. I bought a Bobcat. Things that I can actually make money on. However, I bought them used, and the price of used ones are continuing to go up. So it is not a consumption thing. it's something that still has some intrinsic value. That's probably the whole key word right there, intrinsic value. There's no intrinsic value. There's value of memories and pictures and everything else in your experience. And life is, you got to enjoy life. You got to go out and do some things. Don't get me wrong. There's got to be a balance there. One of the worst investments you can make is buying a new car. I recently, even if you can pay cash for it, it's still not a very good investment. But I recently was working with somebody that said that they'd just gotten this big raise. There's this point at this company where if you work so many hours, so long, you get this big bump in pay. They got their big bump in pay, and less than 3 months later, they go out and buy a brand new car. Now, I know they didn't pay cash for it. I know they didn't. They still have school loans. But by golly, they got a nice new car. And I get it. 20 years ago, my wife and I, we went out and each bought brand new cars. I get it. In fact, it was right about this time of year. It was Thanksgiving of 2003. I bought a 2004 Dodge Dakota. I still own that car, by the way. Just got it back from the shop today. It's only got 110,000 miles on it, but I'm not even sure if 100%. It's more rust than the truck now. But I had to pull the bed off of it and put a flatbed on it. But hey, it's fixed and it's running good now for today. So we'll see how it runs tomorrow. You never know. But buying anything like that that's depreciable to at a brand new rate. I mean, I knew that was a vehicle I was going to keep for a long time. In fact, I worked very hard at picking out the right one. I had to go clear down to North Carolina to buy that thing. I had to fly down there, actually wired them the money. Set a car dealer down there. It was brand new. It was an 04, and I bought it in 03, so that gives you an idea. But it was a Dodge Dakota. Last year they made the round body style, four-wheel drive, tow package, seating for six, had the bucket seats with the center console seat where you could actually has a seat belt for that person, so you could put six people in there legally. That includes the driver. Four-wheel drive. It had a tow package with a V8. It also had a CD player. I think this is 2003. Had a CD player and a cassette player. Hard to find. That was hard to find right there. The reason it was hard to find is because everybody was going to CD players. In fact, I went to one dealer locally here to look at a truck that I kind of had everything I wanted on it except for the tow package, and they could have put that on. But this one came from the factory with a tow package on it. The thing I didn't like was that the dealer, as we're driving around, I said, "Well, I was kind of looking for one that had a CD player and a cassette player because back then I still had a lot of cassettes." Hadn't converted them all over. I just wanted that option. And he goes, "Well, you know, nobody's getting those anymore. Everybody's getting CD players now." But, I'm not everybody. I'm the guy with the money standing here wanting to buy a truck, and you're telling me what everybody else wants. I don't want to be everybody else. I want to be what I want. What I want. Needless to say, I didn't buy that truck. It wasn't necessarily offensive, but it was offensive. It was kind of a roadblock. And I thought, knowing what I know about sales, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to buy a vehicle from you. Trying to talk me out of something like that. No. So I have a truck with a cassette player and a CD player in it. To this day, I still have it. And I probably have some cassettes around here I could find that would probably get stuck in there. But I could try it, see if they'd play. It'd probably sound kind of funny. You never know. It was all analog stuff back then. Might sound better. I don't know. But I had the truck that I wanted, though. You know, I drove it home from Carolina, North Carolina, and all the way back. I was thinking, I got the truck with everything I wanted on it. I'm happy I got it, and that was my primary vehicle for a while. Now, after a while, I didn't drive it. I haven't put that many miles on it. I mean, in 20 years, I've only put 110,000 miles on it. So you know, it hasn't been driven that much. However, what is that? Is that even 5,000? That's not even 5,000 miles a year, I don't think. But it's pretty handy when I need it. When I need it, I need it. And it's been a very handy truck. Pretty good truck, really, overall. I've taken it on some serious long trips and held up really well for a long time. You know, just corrosion gets into everything, and it's just up here, especially in the north, where there's a lot of salt roads. But regardless, okay, so there's that kind of thing, and I get it because I bought her a brand new car. It was actually a 2003, but we bought it in 2004. It was right after the year turned over, and we bought a brand new one because it was a leftover on the lot. Again, it was a Nissan Pathfinder, and. It was we got a really good deal on it because they wanted to get the thing off the lot. And needless to say, you got a new car. The problem is that the value of driving, as soon as you drive it off the lot, it loses 30%. And then, of course, typically. Now, we bought it right. We probably could have turned around and sold it for $10,000 less. But we bought it. But it's 10% less. But the 10% would have been, yeah. So, but it was a new car. It had a new car warranty. It had all the stuff that comes with it. And it's clean. It's your car. It's all, the mess that's in it is your mess. And it's one of those things where for the first couple of years you're driving it, it's kind of nice because it's new. And then you start getting scratches on it. You start getting dirty things, people spill things in it, whatever happens, dog vomits, whatever. And then it's not so brand new anymore. It loses its value rather quickly. Now you have a little accident here, a little accident there, whatever. It starts to lose its value. And it's one of those things that's not a good investment. I look at this, this person who bought this Bronco. I'm thinking, if you just went out and bought a little $4,000 or $5,000 used car, paid cash for it, and then instead of making the payments on that Bronco that I know are probably $800 a month at least, plus the insurance that's got to cost a ridiculous amount of money. I don't know what the prices, what the financing arrangement was they had, but if you just took that same money at your age in their 20s, mid-20s or whatever they were, I don't remember. Started putting that money away for 7 or 8 years. You're talking in 20 years, you're talking $1 million or more. Put in the right kind of funds. Probably more. Actually, $100 payment. Yeah, you're gonna have more than $1 million in 20 years. But that's just not the way we think about things, especially at that age. Because we think we're going to live forever. We're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. We just aren't not thinking about the 20 year from now thing. Or even even if you just take $9,000 and put it into an educational fund for your children. There's a deal. I think it's still $9,000. You put it in, as soon as you have a child, you put the $9,000 in there. By the time they're 18, you have, $180,000 or something. It's a tax-deferred, tax-free college fund thing that you can buy for your child. Pretty amazing stuff. And people just don't do it. Because we're not wired that way. We want to live paycheck to paycheck. We want to keep up with the Joneses. There's this pressure to do certain things a certain way and live a certain. And I'm kind of on, I'm about 90%, 95% probably on the Ramsey bandwagon, Dave Ramsey. But I'm not. I'm kind of also kind of intrigued with the whole rich man poor man Robert Kiyosaki thing as well. There's something called, and this is the name of the. It's the Kiyosaki way. People don't talk about it this way, but it's people who don't talk about Kiyosaki. They call this strategy the buy, borrow, die theme. And I think the light came on with this whole thing about how that works. Now I don't agree that everybody can do it. It takes a special kind of person to do it. You really have to have a grasp on some things and have things laid out in a plan. There's some legal structure you have to have. It's not just as simple as paying off your debts and saving money and investing wisely. The Ramsey plan is a lot simpler. Most of the average people out there can get their mind wrapped around it and can actually do it. Whereas the Kiyosaki buy, borrow, die thing is not exactly for the faint at heart. It is a it's a larger structure, and there's still some risk to it. He talks about it. There's still some issues there. You'd have to have some savvy to do it. And there are a lot of things that could go wrong, but the things can go wrong with anything. You can have a bunch of money saved up, and the next thing you know, you got some kind of medical problem or whatever happens, lawsuit, whatever it is, that changes everything in your life. And it's just that can happen. Life happens, and it's just. But where would you be without that? I mean, it's just if life happens and you're in that situation, in a bad situation, then what? It's a whole other issue. I have even a worse situation. I was driving my motorhome down the road, left front tire blew out. Now I'm riding on the rim at 60 miles an hour. Of course, it ruined the rim. Got off the road, had to call a mobile tire service to come out and fix it. It wasn't the end of the world because the money was there to fix it. Just pay for it and go on. It was kind of a inconvenience at the moment. And it was a little bit of a setback. And yeah, I wish I would have spent the money on something. I wish I would have had that money to spend on something else. The point is, the money was there. It was an aggravation for the day. Well, maybe the week. And there was actually some insurance on it. The insurance company actually paid for some of that. So that kind of helped. But still, it wasn't the end of the world. Because there was some preparation for that. There was some set things set aside for kind of not an emergency fund, but the emergency fund is different, but the set aside money for funding things like that. It's already there. The money's already there. I have a giving fund where I just put money, a certain percentage of my income goes into this giving fund. And I just, that money's already, in my mind, that money's already given away. And if money's there and something comes up and I'm going to give to it, I'm not just willy-nilly spending money. It's a percentage amount that I manage that fund. I manage that amount of money, and that's where it goes. I just know that's going to my giving fund. It's not. I don't touch it. I don't get it. I don't get to keep it. And that's enough of the financial world today. So that's what we're probably going to be doing the next couple of weeks. As the beginning of the year starts, I'm going to be down in Florida in January, the first part of January. So the first week of January, if I do have a show that first week, it'll probably be from the Florida Panhandle area. Probably doing the show from the motorhome. And then a couple of things I have to do, driving around the country a little bit. I should say flying around the country a little bit. And if I do that, I may be doing some, yeah, I believe actually I'm going to be doing I can do a show from the road on those. My schedule is very different next month. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. But in the meantime, that's kind of what's happening. So as we're approaching Christmas, folks, Hanukkah is drawn to a close now. So we had our big Hanukkah party yesterday with our group. And Christmas is coming up. So Merry Christmas. Even though Jesus probably wasn't born on December 24th, or 25th, I'm sorry. That's when we celebrate it, which is fine. It's fine, I guess. But in the meantime, happy Christmas, happy holidays, happy whatever you celebrate. But it is the time of our blessed Lord and Savior, our Messiah. We think about his birth and remember that season, which I think is important. Whether it happened or not, at that exact time, we're not really sure for sure. But I have other theories. Meantime, God bless, folks. 812-379-8778. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, God bless. Take care. See ya.